welcome to the Pastor's Heart. Dominic Steele is my name. It's great that you could join us this Tuesday afternoon. Now, coming up over the next week or so on the Pastor's Heart, next week we're going to be talking to a man, I call him the Church Doctor, Peter Meyrick. He works for the Centre for Ministry Development here in Sydney, and he's able to, by looking at gauges, by looking at the statistics that your church has submitted on the National Church Life Survey, work out where the areas that you need to give special attention are and all sorts of things like that. We're going to be talking to him about the whole subject of pragmatism in Christian ministry and the dilemma of, are we being biblical or are we being pragmatic, and how do you put all that together? So it's going to be a very interesting discussion next week with Peter Meyrick. A reminder that if you are watching the Pastor's Heart or listening to it and benefiting from this ministry, we'd really be encouraged if you could let a colleague, a friend, a peer in ministry know so that they might benefit as well. Now, today, we're thinking about Christmas, less than 2 months, kind of 6 weeks to go till Christmas time, and it's the time when we're turning our attention really directly, rapidly, to the whole subject of Christmas meetings, to preaching at Christmas, and whether it's a carol service, a gingerbread night, or the actual Christmas Eve or Christmas Day services. And so I've invited two of my friends, two of my neighbours, two of Australia's great preachers, Luke Tattersall and Kanishka Raphael, to come and talk to me and help me write my Christmas talk and sharpen me on this whole exercise and sharpen you on this. Thanks very much for coming in, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, before we get to Christmas, let's talk the heart of the pastor. And we'll start with you, Kanishka. Tell us about a journey that God has led you on, that you've had to wrestle with him on.
Sure. Well, because we're talking about Christmas, mm-hmm. I thought just this morning, thinking about this question, I thought,
because you've been watching us asking.
I have been watching, yes. 2007, the beginning of 2007, my mother died unexpectedly, very rapidly. She got sick and died very rapidly. And so that first year of grief, you know, we're the people who try and help people prepare themselves for the loss of a loved one. And, you know, I would say to people, you know, give yourself permission, be kind to yourself. Don't be surprised if it takes a long time to recover from this. But actually, that it was a pretty, it was a lousy year. I think I was bad to my family and bad to my staff, and difficult to live with. And but I do remember at Christmas of that year, having preached often, really, about people who might be going through difficult Christmases without special people being around and things like that, and. It took 12 months or so, I think, really, to get over my mother's death. But Christmas was a bit of a turning point, because I was forced to think again about the great heart of God in sending his son. And I think one of the challenges at Christmas, of course, is to make sure you preach Christmas to yourself before you preach it to others. And after that long year of difficult grieving, I was very much ministered to by hearing again for myself the story of the tenderness of God in sending his son into a needy world where death happens, and welcoming us back into relationship with him through his son, which just did minister to me in a way that I wasn't looking for as such or expecting, but there it was. And it was just an experience of God's fatherly kindness in the midst of needing to preach Christmas sermons, but receiving Christmas myself.
Well, just before I come to Luke, there's a young lady in our church, married to our youth worker Josh. Her name's Bethany, and her mum died on Friday.
Gosh, I'm sorry.
What do you say to her at this point? Do you know how do you comfort that young lady?
Oh, wow. Well,
and her mum's Christian.
Sure. Well, that makes a big difference. I think it's important to say, you know, we say we grieve but not without hope. And I think it's important to give equal weight to those two parts of that biblical truth. We do grieve. There is a real, it's part of our humanity that we are connected deeply to one another. And the wrench of death should remind us that God has acted to put right what is wrong. Death isn't natural. It's common, but not natural. And Christmas is the decisive action of God saying there will be an end to death.
Mm.
I'm sending my son to put an end to death and an end to grief and an end to bereavement and an end to separation. I'm sending my son to do this. Mm. So grief is real and hard and unfolds in unexpected ways. But there's a God who sees you, who knows you, and who's provided for you in the moment of death.
Mm. What about you, Luke? What's a story, a journey that God has taken you on?
I think my whole Christian life has been that journey. The first Bible verse that I ever memorized was Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. So I became a Christian around about age 20.
Mm-hmm.
Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I know that my Christian life, I have to keep examining my heart and ask myself why I'm doing the things that I'm doing, that I'm, to ensure that I'm not doing them out of pride or self-interest, that I'm actually seeking to be like Jesus, to serve others, and to love God with all my heart.
Mm.
So I think my Christian life's been that all the way through.
Mm.
Sadly, I'm nudging 60 years of age now, and it doesn't seem to be improving.
Yeah.
Still have to keep examining my heart.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well, let's start with you, Luke, and I want to think firstly about the different Christmas events. You know, what are the different events that you're going to be thinking about over the back half of December?
We'll have a kids' Christmas thing that we run at church where we get quiz works to come along, but we also use it as an opportunity to be able to sort of engage all of the people in the different children's ministries connected with our church. We'll have quiz works also at scripture events at Balmain Public School and Nicholson Street down in Balmain East. We've got the gingerbread house. I think that's mandatory, isn't it? You have to do that if you're a church.
Well, the wreath making with that now more often.
Yeah. That too. We have been doing, it's been a bit of a tradition at the church that I'm at to do the lessons and carols.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't too thrilled with the idea to begin with, but it's a fantastic thing to do, reading Bible passages that take us through the whole story of the Bible and an opportunity to sing some incredible Christmas songs that people enjoy. There'll also be a Christmas Day event as well. So, yeah, so a variety of different things that we'll have.
And you, Kanishka, I think I read a couple of years ago, you had something like 26 carol services or something like that.
It's not quite that many. Not quite that many, but there's a good number. There's a good number of them, yeah. And they're very... the cathedral attracts all kinds of people at Christmas time. The cathedral is often easy for people to come to who are not church-going people. That is, like, it's quite challenging sometimes to go into your local church, but they'll travel to the city to go to the cathedral because somehow it's more public. It's more anonymous, that's right. So we are trying to make the most of what in many cases is a kind of one-off opportunity. So we're really glad to do it.
And what are you trying to achieve at each of these different events? Yeah, let's start with you.
Because
there's different goals for a gingerbread night to a kids' service to a... Yeah.
Well, let me start with a Christmas event. I'm sure your church will probably be similar to ours. Half the people in the area are away for Christmas, but then they're sort of... There's another half that come because
they're visiting.
Christmas
Day, you so wish all your members were there because you've got so many
welcoming
visitors.
So in some ways for me... It's really just a public relations exercise that what I want to do is put the most positive face of our church to the visitors that are there. I want to challenge them with the gospel, obviously, because that's what the whole message of Christmas is, that God has sent his son into the world and people need to respond to that. But I suppose it's that thing of, I'm mindful that this will be the only conversation that I'll have with some of these people. So I need to put the gospel out there for them, and I need to connect with them so that they go away continuing to think about the things that they've heard.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Kanishka?
Well, I think Luke's right that, of course, the first thing is the first thing. We want to set forth Jesus. And I think it's easy to overestimate what people know about Christmas. I think the general level of community knowledge about Christmas has plummeted. So don't be surprised, or I would say anticipate, that for a good number of people who, of course, been celebrating for Christmas forever, but they don't actually know
what's going
necessarily
on, what, yeah, yeah.
What is what. You know, sometimes I've had some strange questions. Oh, did Moses live at the same time as Jesus? And, you know, and how do the kings fit in? And so don't underestimate what
biblical,
a good story it is.
Literacy.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so make sure that you are making Jesus the center of Christmas so that people get that.
Because if you watch breakfast television in the lead up to Christmas, every presenter will want to tell you what the spirit of Christmas is really all about.
Yeah, that's right.
And it generally doesn't have anything to do with Jesus.
No,
so I think
exactly.
that's right, putting Jesus exactly. front and center
yeah.
for Christmas.
So for me, I have ringing in my ears that line from Paul in Colossians 4, pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
And I say to my staff team, this is the moment where you want to actually, the as I should, you want to demand of me that
yeah.
I have proclaimed it clearly.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And I'm wanting to be saying, Jesus is the Saviour, Jesus is the Lord,
yeah.
with repentance and faith is
yeah.
the application.
Sure.
Point.
Yeah, it is difficult because you're obviously not going to have the opportunity to fully explain penal substitutionary atonement for,
yeah.
for the people that
yeah.
are there.
And there's a sense of making a little ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
yeah. And again, connecting with them in a way that leaves them walking away continuing to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's, I mean, with Christmas talks, I think it's always about trying to think about what's that issue within our society,
that's right.
what's the issue in the lives of the people who are here, where the gospel pierces their heart
mm.
and shows them that the answer is Jesus.
Mm. Mm. And then I think there is the, there's the connecting. It's important to do that. So we've got to know that it's important to get Jesus in front of people. We've also got to know how difficult, how foreign church is. It is remarkable that people who don't go to church still come at Christmas
yeah.
or to your event. And so I think whatever kind of human community connection you can bring to light just reduces their anxiety about who are these people and what do they think. And so the more points where you say, oh, you know, we're going to get the credit card shock after after the Christmas shopping, or, you know, we're just hoping Auntie Betty's not going to get the turkey again this year.
Mm.
Just the things that allow people to say, oh, yeah, that happens in
You're
my
normal. Yeah.
Exactly. That happens in my family
like
too.
Yeah.
I'm running around, you know, going to every child's end of year function or
yeah.
those kinds of the culture of Christmas in our society today, just connect into some of those points just to give people the impression, oh, actually, these guys know what life is about. Their
yeah.
life is a lot like
your,
mine.
Your issues are my issues.
Yeah.
We have those.
That's right. But they've got this thing about Jesus. What's that about?
Mm.
And that'll make it easier for them to listen.
Have you guys had the experience of events where nobody really wants to pay attention to your talk? Do you know? I mean, or... Yeah.
Never.
Quite regularly. I'm actually thinking about the gingerbread night, do you know, where everyone's focused on making their gingerbread
yeah.
thing, and, oh, there's going to be a talk, and the kids are sitting at the table with the parents, and the kids are talking, and
yeah,
how do you kind of push through that moment?
We make sure that every event that we advertise, that we actually make it clear that we'll be talking about the real meaning of
mm-hmm.
Christmas and
yep.
talking
yeah.
about what Jesus came to do. So no one's going to be surprised that there's a talk. I think at that point, that's where you need to get the people from your church primed and ready to make sure that their table is quiet and listening to what's happening.
Yes, that's really helpful. Alerting the
modelling it.
To play team play
yep.
at that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure your events will be like ours, that probably more than 50% of the people that are there are non-church people.
Way more, yeah.
So we need to make sure that the Christians are actually setting the tone for
yeah.
how things are going to go.
Mm-hmm. And I think, depending on the event, try not to change gears too dramatically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So outdoor events are really hard.
Yeah.
I don't think...
Have you got any in St Andrew's Square or anything like
yeah,
that?
Well, yeah,
yeah,
we do one. We
yeah.
do one. At,
I mean, I saw you speaking at a thing the other day in the St Andrew's Square, and I thought, how do you even do that?
Yeah, well, you know, you just give it your best as though you're talking to whoever it is.
and
brevity people are,
needs to be the key.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you've got to be alert to the circumstances. You've got to kind of see the room, see the people in the room or the space, and make sure you're talking to them in that moment, which takes you know, you've got to be familiar with your material so that if you say, this is chaos, I need to do an even shorter version. It's going to be a 3-minute version instead of a 5-minute version or something like that. And, you know, pray your way through that. And but be responsive to what's happening to the dynamic of the event and aim your expectations around that so that people, you know, invite their friends to the gingerbread event because they know you're not going to do a 25-minute expository sermon on something. They know you're going to do a short, sharp, engaging gospel presentation which reflects the same kind of chaos of making the gingerbread and enjoying the sweets and the community time and what have you.
We've got a question from Ernie Burgess who says, if you guys could give some insight on Christmas talks in nursing homes, that would be really helpful as well. Any advice on that?
You know, it's quite bittersweet often in nursing homes. People have recollections of happier times, happier Christmas times. But you can tap into that good stuff which is there. But I think you just need to be sensitive and aware that often, you know, in the nursing home, there are people who haven't had a visit. Maybe they're not going to get one over Christmas. Mm. And so I think, you know,
there's opportunity to tap into loneliness and relationship.
Yes, yeah. There is. Yes, there is. And they're aware of those things. So being able to speak about how God cares for us. Certainly in a nursing home, Anna and Simeon are always, they're good. Just highlighting the compassion of the God who is with us. Mm. In a way, you don't need to say, maybe you're not going to see your family, because they know that if that's happening. Mm. But they don't know that God is with them. Mm. And here's the proof, he sent Jesus for you.
Mm. I think Christmas music is a great way of beginning that conversation with elderly people and people in retirement places. They love the music of Christmas, and there was a song sung at Christmas, "Glory to God in the Highest," and which is a great gospel message that God has actually sent the Saviour. So I think that can be a great basis for a talk.
Mm.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's talk passages for Christmas, because we've got a question from Stephen McDonald, and he's asked, with the general decline in biblical literacy, should we stick to the gospel narratives at Christmas? What challenges and benefits are there from speaking from other passages, such as the prophecies of Christ's birth? And if I can just add to that, my experience has been, I've basically always preached from the gospel narratives, but this year I'm just kind of feeling, have I done it too much? Should I do something for variety for me, or... What's your answer to that?
Yeah. Of course, there are two audiences. You know, there are the church members, the church family, and the visitors. And so we always try to make sure that we had a kind of church family Christmas service, which just allowed us to be a little bit self-indulgent in a sense and celebrate. So we do that outside of the kind of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but you know, I'm really talking about when I was in a local church in Perth, and you know, earlier on in December, we'd make sure it might be the Sunday school wrap up time or something like that, and we just had a kind of Christmas service which was for us, so that we could be a little more geared to the outsider for the big days, and so for those big days, I just think those people come for the Christmas story. Mm-hmm. So if you preach a passage like Philippians 2, which I've done, you still kind of need to mention the shepherds and the angels and all of that, because otherwise it's going to be so foreign to them, they'll think, did we go to Christmas church or not? But certainly you can... I think it's good, at least from time to time, to show how the whole of Scripture is pointing to Jesus, and so I've got no problem with preaching Christmas from other parts of the Bible, including the prophetic passages, but I do think that the outsider especially needs to have something that makes them feel a little bit familiar with what's going on here, which means not Santa, shepherds, angels, Mary and Joseph, what's going on.
And I think Stephen's right in his question. I think people are not that familiar with the Bible story. so why not read the Bible story? Mm-hmm. I mean, the gospel accounts aren't that long. So we would look at one of the gospel accounts every Christmas. We'll mm-hmm. read through a few passages and generally pair it up with the hymn that goes with that as well. So right. that the hymn that's familiar to them, or the Christmas carol that's familiar to them, this is the passage that it actually comes from.
Right.
So,
that's helpful. Yeah. Can I just say, you said it's within your canon, if you like, to take a passage from the Old Testament or Philippians 2 or something like that. Mm. Can you tell us some of the passages that you have done outside the birth narratives at Christmas, or you would consider doing outside the birth narratives?
Yeah, sure. So Philippians 2 was mm-hmm. one of them, which is not unlike John 1, mm-hmm. The sort of, you know, journey from heaven to earth. Mm. Hebrews 2 talks about Jesus coming to free those who lived all their lives in the fear of death and to chase away the devil or something. So there are surprising passages where there is something about the reason Jesus came. Mm-hmm. In fact, I know John Piper's got a book. I think it's an Advent book, actually. Maybe it is. Something like 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came. Mm-hmm. If you flick through that book, you'll find, you know, 50 texts which have something to do with the incarnation. With a little bit of thought and preparation, you know, you can exploit that.
There's the cheat notes to start with.
There you go. You don't need it from me. You can get it from John Piper.
Most of Piper's books are free online.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 1, God's chosen the foolish things of this world to show the wise, the weak mm-hmm. things of this world, which is so much what comes out in the Christmas story, especially mm-hmm. in Luke's gospel, that they're making the poor person's offering when they take their child to the temple, you know, the two pigeon offering rather than the lamb, which is what Leviticus required. Mm-hmm. So there are those passages that talk about the humility of Jesus in this, as does Philippians chapter 2 as well. Mm. So.
Little side note, somebody's asked, Graham Marx has asked, communion or not at Christmas? I say no. What do you say?
Well, on Christmas Day, we have a communion service in the morning, early, mm-hmm. and then we have a regular service without communion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we advertise one communion service.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Luke?
I would say no. We'll have the one service on Christmas Day, and I wouldn't think of doing it there.
Yeah,
I think it's really more about the believers, and when half of our believers are away and the other half of the people who are there are visitors, then I'm not sure that that's necessarily a helpful thing.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a great way of proclaiming the gospel.
I've got so many ideas to explain.
Yeah.
How do I do all of those ideas and all of those ideas?
Yeah.
If you use the prayer book, there's the Christmas Day Thanksgiving. That helps.
I'm Presbyterian. So.
Your preparation for your Christmas talk, how different is it to, I mean, you'll obviously have a routine of preparation. I'm going to be doing 2 Corinthians 3 this weekend, you know. How should I expect my week of preparation looking different to my 2 Corinthians 3 week, to my week before Christmas?
Well, I'll jump in first. I think mine actually starts. Mine started a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
So I'm beginning to think, okay, well, we've got to think about what the events are and what will be the sorts of things we will want to cover at those events.
Okay.
So then there comes the advertising thing. So I've got to think about what's the talk that I'm going to do on Christmas Day. What am I going to do for the lessons and carols?
Well, let it all hang out, Luke. Tell us what you're preaching on and how you're starting to put it together.
Christmas Day will be Jesus, the man, the myth. Uh-huh. And that's looking at those, dispelling some of those ideas that people may have about Christmas and looking at what the real Christmas story says.
What passage?
That's a very good question. We haven't got that far.
You've started your preparation with a concept, not a passage.
But I know that the Bible is overflowing with passages that will help me to embrace that concept. It'll be one of the gospel accounts that we look at. But I think just the idea that people can pin these things on Jesus that actually don't fit on him, that he's a very different person to that. Mm-hmm. So,
Kanishka, tell me you're starting with a passage.
I try and identify a passage. I haven't identified.
You're about preaching the Bible.
I haven't decided what it's going to be.
But it'll be something to do with Christmas.
It'll be something to do with Christmas. Last year I did John 1, so I know I'm not doing John 1. Yeah. I think... Luke 2 is great. You know, there are, you can do the whole thing. You can do a section of it. Mm. And so we'll probably go back there. One of the things that I do is, you know, there are Advent kind of readings mm-hmm. around. Advent is too late, so I start my Advent readings in November, mm-hmm. and just start to think about what other people have said. You know, you can get Advent readings from Calvin or Piper or mm-hmm. Luther or I've got a book, I think it's by Paul Tripp. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just
Calvin, Luther, Tripp.
Yeah, the great ones. So just, you know, just kind of start to stew around. We know the story well, right?
Yeah.
But
we're looking for the interesting
exactly.
way. I find that it needs to be a way that's going to be interesting for them, but it's actually also got to fascinate me this year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to preach Christmas sounding stale or kind of taken for granted or something like that.
That's the expectation that those non-church people have when they walk in the door, that this is something that I have to endure.
Exactly.
And this is going to confirm why I don't come the other 51 weeks
exactly.
of the year.
So I think
confounding expectations is a big part of the whole
right.
of the Christmas event, not just the talk, but the talk particularly. But just trying to show people that, no, we're not what you think we are.
Mm, yeah.
And
I've got to suppress my inner Scrooge.
Right.
You know, because I'm a real bar humbug guy by the time we get to Christmas, right? So I've got to have given time for the Lord to, capture my heart.
Humble you with the Christmas.
Absolutely, all over again. And to say, I've got to talk about this.
Yeah. I looked back over some of my notes of Christmas talks, and I discovered that when my kids were little, the recurring opening theme was, Christmas is so stressful. Whereas now that my kids are older, I don't feel the stress.
No, that's right. Yeah. But that'll work.
Yeah.
you'll get lots of empathy in your hearers.
Hey, what about the issue of, I mean, for most of us, we're preaching in a room normally when children aren't in the room. Whereas Christmas morning, in our situation, it's the one Sunday morning of the year where we don't have any kids program.
Yeah.
All the kids are sitting with their parents.
Yeah.
And so it's just a whole different dynamic doing it when you've got four-year-olds sitting next to their parents to when their four-year-olds are off in the kids programs. Do you want to
I'm very strong on brevity. I think that you really do need to actually tailor it to that. You've got to recognise that the attention span of these children will probably, even though they won't be the ones listening, they will probably determine the length of my talk.
Because
if you've got half the parents who've walked out the door, you need to make sure that you keep it short enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think doing other things throughout the service that are actually going to occupy the children as well to give them their time. So we'll have a puppet show. We'll probably have a kids' video or something as well during our service.
We've often handed out little packs when the sermon started. But I think I've got to confess, really, I came to the idea of family talks late.
Mm-hmm.
So for a long time, again in Perth in a local church, kind of tried to occupy the children with puzzles or mm-hmm. colouring, age-specific,
mm-hmm.
but I was going to kind of speak to the grown-ups. And, you know, it didn't work too badly, but I came to see through other staff engaging me on the subject that it would be good.
That was no good, Kishka.
It would be good to have an all-age talk. And I absolutely agree with that. I think what it does do is focus you on clarity,
mm-hmm.
Not only brevity, but also simplicity of ideas. And so it's worth just the extra preparation that is needed in the midst of all the Christmas business, but devoting some time and guarding the time so that this piece of communication, you know this stuff, right? We know it. And so add a little bit more preparation time in terms of how we're going to deliver this message that we know well.
It takes less time. I need less time on exegesis.
You do.
More time on the culture and more time on the kind of creativity.
Communication, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Gentlemen, thanks very much for coming and talking to us today.
Great to be with you, Dominic.
Very great pleasure. Thank
Luke
you.
Tattersall has been my guest from Campbell Street.
I had Balmain at the front of my mind, but right. Campbell Street Presbyterian Church, Balmain, and Kanishka Rafael from St Andrew's Cathedral. And you've been watching, listening to The Pastor's Heart, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week when our guest will be the church doctor, Peter Meyrick. Thanks for joining us. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.